Broadcasting from Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM in Olympia, Washington, and from Hollow Earth Radio, soon to be KHUH 104.9 FM in Seattle, Washington. It is time for The Thunderbolt. Guess, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your weekly guide to political activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary. I have a calendar for all the activist-related events this week. I have kick-ass music and dumb jokes. So off of the couch and into the streets, Cascadia. It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse. So even the apocalypse is going to have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee.
Distinguished members of the subcommittee, for the opportunity to testify today regarding one of the largest abuses ever of the United States banking system.
Simply by the act of spending American money, you are helping to directly finance a whole bunch of the most heinous crimes in human history. Yes, you cannot operate in this society without making bargains with the devil. And the question is always, how much are you willing to concede? This is also in the context of the fact that the level of, quote, success that you achieve in our society is directly proportional to how much of your humanity you are willing to sell to that devil. So I am now entertaining the theory that most humans that do evil things are not evil by nature, but that they are instead good-natured people who have been forced to adapt to their environment as best they could. This theory is valid, then that means that the people are not the problem around here. It is the environment that they're being forced to adapt to. And it seems to me, anyway, that humanity may now be standing between two major epochs in our evolution. And I believe the effects to what we're doing now will be similar in scale to those that happened when we adopted agriculture and to those that happened as a result of the Industrial Revolution. And where our next epoch will take us is the question. And the answer to that question is that it is up to us. There is good news. There are now more clean energy jobs in the state of California than there are coal mining jobs in the entire United States. In addition, computer technology is about to make a quantum leap. Literally. And soon, we will be able to eliminate most diseases in general, and genetically inherited diseases in particular. In addition, we will soon be able to largely arrest, if not actually reverse, the human aging process. But the bad news is that this is likely all moot, as it would seem that, barring unforeseen circumstances, our entire civilization is about to experience a catastrophic collapse. Yes? Where our next epoch will take us is indeed the question. And the answer is indeed that is up to us. Meanwhile, on the world stage, I stumbled over an interesting little dynamic that is happening in Turkey-U.S. relations. Last year, there was a failed coup attempt against the Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name. Beware of pretty faces that you find.
Mr. Erdogan charged Fethullah Gulen.
Face can hide an evil mind.
A Turkish expatriate who's living in Pennsylvania.
You give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret Asian man, secret Asian man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
I assumed that Mr. Gulen was some activist who had left Turkey to escape persecution, and that he was being used as a scapegoat to cover up for Mr. Erdogan's own shortcomings, because that is how such things are usually played out. But I hadn't given it a high enough priority to ever really look into it.
Secret Asian man, secret Asian man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
The one thing that I did think about it,
swinging on the Riviera one day,
was that Mr. Goulin should probably watch his back.
In the Bombay Allen next day,
lest our loving government sell his ass
Robert Slip
to Erdogan,
sing persuasive lips
in return for some underhanded political consideration.
Secret Asian man, secret agent.
However, I just learned something very interesting.
And digging away your name.
It turns out that Fethullah Gulen is a longtime CIA asset. And if American reporters know this,
secret agent man,
then I'm pretty sure that Mr. Erdogan knows this as well. This being the case, then Mr. Erdogan may indeed have a case about Mr. Gulen's involvement in the coup attempt, and the fact that Mr. Erdogan is placing serious pressure to have Mr. Gulen return to Turkey is thus rather like him repeatedly poking both the CIA and the deep state people in the eye. Recep Erdogan, better watch out, or the United States might bring some democracy to his country sometime soon. Our president and our recently fired FBI director are calling each other liars. On this one thing, at least, they are both telling the truth. The hyper-partisan atmosphere and the enemy of my enemy is my friend mentality is now making idiot child liberals extol the virtues of James Comey and the FBI. So James Comey was an assistant director at the FBI for the entire Bush-Obama era, and James Comey never said a word about the massive and outrageous attack on the very foundations of our democracy that the intelligence agencies and the FBI have been conducting upon all of us during that entire era. Make no mistake, James Comey is a tried and true, dyed-in-the-wool fascist. Jeremy Corbyn and Bernie Sanders also provide an interesting phenomena. The corporate media viciously attacks them both, yet both keep almost winning elections in spite of that. The machine tells us that people like Mr. Corbyn and Mr. Sanders are pie-in-the-sky dreamers, and that we need to continue letting the adults actually run everything. Are they really trying to say that we need to keep these same adults running our world because what? They've been doing such a bang-up job of it so far. As a writer of both fiction and non-fiction, I can tell you that one big difference between fiction and reality is that fiction must be believable. Were I to create a fictional hero named Reality Winner, I would probably be seriously criticized for making up such an unlikely name, especially in such a context. But reality does not suffer the restriction of maintaining believability. And reality is indeed a reality. Reality Winner is, in fact, the latest whistleblower hero to be persecuted for telling us the truth about our government. Meanwhile, here at home, the Rump has just revealed that when he signed the authorization for the Dakota Access Pipeline, that, quote, "I just closed my eyes and signed it." This guy has a true genius for making inadvertent metaphorical statements that are actually true, though in ways I am sure were unintended. There is one comfort that can be taken from the knowledge that our president makes major policy decisions by closing his eyes. If he ever launches a nuclear attack, at least we can take comfort from the knowledge that he will probably have his eyes closed when he does it. Yes, I believe we can safely say that this is a case of eyes wide shut. Anti-war activists are usually very careful to repeatedly state that they have nothing against military personnel or against military veterans. Even problematic such people are often given the benefit of the doubt due to the assumption that the machine has broken them, and therefore their problematic aspects are not even their own faults. The police are also given great deference by the general public, but often not so much Lies. By activists.
Black hair, black. Fast, dangerous.
Evidently, Lies. There is a progressive activist that is about to become Fast. The district attorney
dangerous.
For the city of Philadelphia.
Hold your breath, I'm coming.
He is promising,
I hear your lungs, they drumming,
to clamp down on police violence against citizens. The Philadelphia police are famously one of the most violent and corrupt police forces in the country. And that is truly saying something.
Was the man on the men around town, sunset, dialectical clown. I say whatever he did, he definitely was a dialectical kid.
According to the DOJ,
living in the street, he was fast, dialectical beat. Could he last night as the day, day as the night? Whenever they got him, it was out of sight.
The Philadelphia police shoot unarmed citizens at 6 times the rate the New York police do. And in a city where both whites and blacks constitute around 45% of the population each. Almost all of these police shootings are white officers shooting black people.
I say, Madame did. He definitely was a dialectical kid.
I hope the new district attorney
Death came by a hell's hand.
Thinks about taking on the Philadelphia police a lot. And I hope he thinks about taking on the Philadelphia police in a strategic manner. I would suggest that he does not want to court open hostility from the rank and file police officers. The main problem with problematic police is usually a problematic police culture. And that is not a ship that you can turn on a dime. That is something you simply need to change. And changing cultures is not an easy thing to do. Philadelphia's new district attorney will need cooperation from a significant number of those rank-and-file police officers, in fact. And another thing you need to know about all this, the bad apple theory concerning problematic police officers is actually true. Usually, around 4 to 5% of police officers on any given large city police force.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, go!
Are responsible for around 40 to 50% of all the police abuse complaints. On the other hand, though, all of the other officers know who these bad apples are, yet they still unconditionally have their backs no matter what they do. This blue wall of silence immediately collapses, though, when actual investigations and actual indictments start flying around. It is such a rare occurrence that most people are unfamiliar with even the concept. But when the feces hits the threshing machine, the cops often prove even more willing to, quote, cooperate with law enforcement than regular civilian criminal defendants are. In addition, I theorize that a large number of the good cops are actually disgusted and or alarmed by their violent brethren. And I would theorize many of them would actually love to see a little police reform happen.
To keep you back in time, I can't imagine. See what there will be on the street that's a key.
They just don't feel personally empowered enough to start openly advocating it because they feel trapped by that police culture that I just mentioned. I sort of defy political classification myself. I am probably closer to an anarchist than anything else. Yet I very famously do not get along very well with most other people who label themselves as anarchists. One difference is that I think we need to evolve into anarchism, whereas the Black Flag kids seem to think that it can be imposed. Another difference is that they want to militantly confront the police, whereas I think we need to win them over to our side. While I can support someone else that does a little strategic property damage here and there, I think that physically fighting with the police or even yelling at them or calling them names is pointless and counterproductive. We need to fight smart, kids. There are three different science podcasts that I try to listen to every week. Last week, Big Picture Science, a project of the SETI Institute, and usually a most excellent science program, did a piece on a new technology called clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats.
Every day I get the cue to get on a bus that takes me to you.
Or CRISPR.
I'm so nervous I just sit and smile. The house is only another mile. Thank you, job, for getting me here. You'd be an inspector,
CRISPR represents a new, quick, easy, and supposedly precise tool to change the coding of specific targeted genes whilst conducting genetic engineering.
Just to talk to my baby.
The hosts of Big Picture Science
sometimes 6 months each day
were nearly breathless in their enthusiasm as they described this new gene editing technology that is so precise and so easy to use.
Magic Boss!
It will allow
Magic Boss!
Nearly anyone
Magic Boss!
To experiment. With genetic engineering, CRISPR can specifically target one single gene and change it. With CRISPR technology, as Big Picture Science explains it, it is possible to edit a single gene in a manner similar to editing a single word in a digital document. You simply tell your program to replace all the X's with Y's, and suddenly every X turns into a Y. As they began describing this new technology and its possible benefits, and the more excited the hosts became as they were describing it, the more alarmed I became. Yes, there are numerous potential benefits that seem nearly miraculous. In CRISPR technology, probably lies the cure for several genetically inherited diseases, for instance. The people that PBS interviewed were from an institution called Innovative Genomics Initiative at the University of California at Berkeley. Their website is innovativegenomics.org. And the scientist that BBS interviewed was very pleasant and informative. And he reassured everyone that the adults were in the room and that everyone was being very careful and very responsible with everything that they were doing. He was also overflowing with endless details about CRISPR and the wondrous potential that lies in this technology. They even had a clever, entertaining, and educational skit about how CRISPR works. They used a word replacement program to change a verse of Shakespeare into a verse from The Wizard of Oz, which I found oddly appropriate, if for reasons I suspect the show's producers had not considered. Then, the BPS people followed this with yet another interview, this time with a biohacker who is literally using CRISPR technology to do GE experiments in his kitchen. And then he is sharing his results with an online community of other amateur genetic engineers. Yes, I just said amateur genetic engineers. The hacker that was interviewed explain the importance of placing all your GE manipulation tools into the machinery of the cell itself, so that you can produce the desired outcome. This guy even explains that when you're dealing with 10 to the 15th power number of cells, then some of your things will stick and some won't. Thus, it is largely a matter of trial and error. He is conducting amateur genetic engineering by trial and error. Finally, at the very end of the piece, the host does briefly mention, quote, "There are a number of ethical problems with this technology, and for all of its promise, there is some peril."
Try to hypnotize me, try to mesmerize me, try to destabilize the world. Call it propaganda, try to hypnotize me.
But they don't bother to detail such things any further. One of numerous very serious problems with all of this is that even in cases of genetically inherited diseases, highly varied suites of genes usually cause the vast majority of such diseases, and all of these genes all interact with other genes in various other ways as well. And as they seem to have to keep learning over and over again, when one is dealing with insanely complex systems that have evolved over 1 billion years, everything usually interacts with everything else. If you change one thing, then you are very likely to change a lot of other things as well. There are other questions that the hosts of Big Picture Science barely touched upon, though, as well. What about unintended side effects? and potential catastrophic consequences if everyone and their grandmother were to start tinkering with the basic building blocks of life.
And you'll say,
what about unintended side effects and potential catastrophic consequences resulting from the fact that different genes often act in completely different manners when they are placed in different contexts? Also, since such work often involves transferring genes from one species to another species, what about potential cross-species contamination? A bizarre new genetic characteristic that have never before been seen in nature? And how long before pathogens begin figuring out how to navigate this new cross-species highway? And what about fascists who want to use this technology to literally create classes of people, literally rewired, to do whatever the rulers need them to do? This can include eliminating all conscience and all morals from all of their police and all of their soldiers. And finally, what about the fact that if you seriously up, then there is no taking it back, as whatever catastrophe you just unleashed is now indelibly embedded into the genome itself? After Big Picture Science, I listened to another science program called Quirks and Quarks, a production of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And they also had a piece on CRISPR. Also began their program by extolling the many virtues and potentials of CRISPR technology.
Now the spelling potion of you.
But their lead-in was this.
It really doesn't bother me. Watch that car.
There is a fly in the ointment. Q and Q interviewed a scientist that described discovering a single gene that was causing blindness in mice. And he described how they used CRISPR technology to change that gene and to cure these mice. And subsequent generations did indeed stop inheriting that gene. However, They also followed up with a full gene sequence of the mice to see if there had been any other changes, and lo and behold, there were not only numerous other changes in the genetic wiring that had also come about due to their tinkering, but they were not changes that the scientists had predicted might happen, and in fact, the changes usually had no obvious connection to the blindness gene that could be made at all. Ironically, they also use the word processor metaphor to describe this phenomenon as well. It was as if you told your word processor to change all your X's into Y's, but then it also changed a whole bunch of other random things into other random things on other pages as well. And maybe those changes were harmless, but maybe those changes made the entire paragraph, or even the entire page, incoherent. The scientists explained that it was, quote, hard to tell at this point what these other genes did. Now, this gentleman thus acknowledged the risks, but he thought that a cost-benefit analysis should be applied to this technology. He felt that targeting exceptionally vile diseases was worth the risk of unknown side effects, whilst manipulating genes so that your kid can have blonde hair is not. This stuff is very scary, and the tech is now moving very fast. It is literally being crowdsourced, in fact. So keep an eye on this stuff. In the meanwhile, it's time to get to work. And thus ends part one of The Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What You Can Do About It. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise and give a warm round of applause for the Olympia Action Alert for the week of July 7th through July 14th, 2017. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Saturday, July 8th, we have a book discussion. Hegemony How To, A Roadmap for Radicals by Jonathan Matthew Smucker. With a name like that, he's got to be good. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. This is from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Mix 96 Meeting Room, 119 Washington Street Northeast, which is basically on the corner of Washington and State. And I got this message from Matt. Our next E4E book will be Hegemony How To, A Roadmap for Radicals by Jonathan Matthew Smucker. We will read the first half, pages 1 through 129. We will meet and discuss it on Saturday, July 8th from 1 to 3 p.m. at Mix 96. Hegemony How To is a practical guide to political struggle for a generation that is deeply ambivalent about questions of power, leadership, and strategy. Hopeful about the potential of today's burgeoning movements, longtime grassroots organizer Jonathan Smucker nonetheless pulls no punches when confronting their internal dysfunction. Drawing from personal experience, he provides deep theoretical insight into the all-too-familiar radical tendency toward self-defeating insularity and paralyzing purism. At the same time, he offers tools to bridge the divide between anti-authoritarian values and hegemonic strategies, tools that might just help today's movements to navigate their obstacles and change the world. Jonathan Smucker is the director of Beyond the Choir and has worked for more than two decades as an organizer and strategist in grassroots social movements. His writing has appeared in The Guardian, The Nation, The Sociological Quarterly, and elsewhere. And I do not have any contact information here for any of these folks. So again, this is a book discussion, Hegemony How To, A Roadmap for Radicals, by Jonathan Matthew Smucker, Saturday, July 8th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Mix 96 Meeting Room, 119 Washington Street, Northeast. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Wednesday, July 12th, it's time to organize against nuclear weapons with the Olympia Fellowship of Reconciliation. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at 1607 Cooper Point Road, Northwest. And that is actually a medical office, and this message came to me from Glenn. The Olympia Fellowship of Reconciliation invites you to organize locally against nuclear weapons. Please join us for our next productive meeting on Wednesday, July 12th from 7 to 9 p.m. in Northwest Olympia. Dr. Joanne Mayhew, a member of our community, is letting us meet in a room in her medical office at 1607 Cooper Point Road, Northwest. Olympia 4 belongs to a new statewide coalition that is working strategically and vigorously to oppose nuclear weapons. We will be organizing a variety of local Olympia activities to educate the public and to pressure Congress. You can find a lot of information about nuclear weapons at olympia4for.org. Any questions, you can contact Glenn. His phone number, 360-491-9093, or you can email him at glenn@olympia4for.org. So again, it's time to organize against nuclear weapons with Olympia 4, Wednesday, July 12th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the medical office of Dr. Joanne Mayhew, 1607 Cooper Point Road, Northwest. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Thursday, July 13th, the Thurston Climate Action Team presents Samir Ranade, 7 p.m. at Traditions Cafe, 300 5th Avenue Southwest. And this message came to me through Olympia 4. On Thursday, July 13th, the Thurston Climate Action Team invites the public to hear Samir Ranade from the Alliance for Jobs and Clean Energy at TCATS Forum. This will be at 7 p.m. at Traditions Fair Trade Cafe on the corner of 5th and Water Streets in Olympia. For information, go to thurstonclimateaction.org, or if you're an emailer, graham.sacrison@gmail.com. Graham is spelled G-R-A-E-M-E dot Sacrison is spelled S-A-C-K-R-I-S-O-N. So we have the Thurston Climate Action Team presents Samir Ranade, Thursday, July 13th, 7 p.m. at Traditions Cafe, 300 5th Avenue Southwest. And I'm afraid that is it for the Thunderbolt this week, kids. But there is no need to join a 12-step program. I will be back again next week with an archive show, and in the meanwhile, I have the bonus tip of the day to help get you through. Watch out for crisper critters in your crispy critters. Ha ha, peace. And we will see you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt. If you want to get involved with activism in Thurston County, you need to sign up for the Thunderbolt, your weekly email guide to activism in Olympia. Just send an email to Dana 98501@gmail.com. That's Dana, D-A-N-A, 98501, downtown Olympia zip code, @gmail.com. Help us come save the world, kids.
In case of a nuclear attack, the protection of records is essential if this country is to carry on its economy and maintain our way of life.
Scream!